Welcome everyone to episode 211 of the Red Zone Restrictor podcast. I'm your host David Comerford and I'm joined by Jamie Barton as we ask whether Liverpool can salvage their season after the Europa League exit.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
So, Liverpool couldn't mount the comeback against Atalanta. They've lost 3-1 on aggregate despite, obviously, that 1-0 victory on the night. Damage was done at Anfield and it wasn't really the dramatic night that it threatened to be, maybe in the early stages of the game. Liverpool out of a competition that they were heavy favourites to win at the quarter-final stage, obviously on the end of an upset. And their season, which has been sort of on the rocks for the past couple of weeks now, takes another turn for the worse, unfortunately. So Jamie and I today are going to reflect, obviously, a little bit on the game in Bergamo, but also whether there's any cause for optimism between now and the end of the season, or whether Liverpool are basically just running on fumes until the finish line of, obviously, this campaign, but also the Jurgen Klopp era. So, like I said, Jamie, let's begin with the game yesterday. I mean, don't worry about a three-red review or anything like that, like we normally do. Just your sort of general impressions of how it panned out. Because it's always weird, isn't it, when you win a game, but you sort of, you know, you've won the battle, but you've lost the war type thing.
Yeah, I think I'd probably echo the views of most Liverpool fans in that I thought we started pretty well. And I thought generally the first half was maybe the best we've looked in, I don't know, maybe a week or a bit more than a week, maybe since the Man United game, which obviously we didn't win, but we were kind of in control for good stretches of that. So, yeah, it was... I went into it thinking, I just want to see a good performance. The kind of the levels the team have been at recently have been so low that obviously, you dream about kind of another European comeback, another European night under Klopp. But what I wanted to see was a good performance. And I thought we got that for the first half. I was really angry with the players in the second. And I think I've calmed down a little bit now just because you get in the moment and all of that. But I thought second half, I think we had two shots. It looked like maybe they were tired mentally. It looked like maybe some of them had given up a little bit, and that was very, very frustrating because it's not that Atalanta were there for the taking, but we just didn't test them enough. And it's kind of a similar story, really, to some of the games. We miss a big chance in the Salah chance. I think you can compare that, even though it's earlier in the game, you can compare that to the Jones chance against Crystal Palace, where after that it just felt like their heads went down and they didn't feel like they would be able to get themselves back into the game. And obviously, as a supporter watching that, you see that, and that's very frustrating. So I'm not going to do the whole kind of game of two halves cliche or anything like that. But there were positives, but in the end, it felt quite similar to a lot of the games that we've seen recently.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of approached it like, you know, you need to break a game like this down a little bit. Scoring early was something that a lot of people put a big emphasis on, and I think rightly so. And when we scored at that point, I think everyone sort of had belief that we were going to go on and do it. And I sort of thought when that happened, obviously with the penalty, Salah scoring it, like I didn't think we needed to go on and then score a second goal until about 70, 75 minutes. Like I think if we'd scored before then, we would still have had a decent amount of time at the end. Sorry, to put them under loads of pressure and then, you know, hopefully get that there and obviously force it to extra time from there. So getting that early goal almost felt like a bit of a weight off in that way. And then obviously the first half when that ends, I wasn't sort of too worried about not extending it for that reason. But then the way the second was playing out and then as the sort of clock ticks on, so I think he said, what's the latest we can possibly get this second goal and still reasonably have a chance of doing it? I mean, the thing is, as well, in these UEFA competitions, you don't even have that sort of thing in the back of your mind, like maybe against Crystal Palace the other week, where you're like, oh, there's going to be roughly 10 minutes of added time, you know, give or take a couple of minutes either side. you know, with UEFA, it's sort of the old-fashioned way, if you like. I think it was only three in the end here, so that was never really going to be in our life, Liverpool, if they couldn't get the second goal, and they didn't, unfortunately. And it was an okay performance. I mean, Alisson, I think, had a few decent saves to make. Atalanta got in a few times, but it was nice to see a clean sheet after such a big run without one. And obviously, you know, maybe there's something to be said for getting the victory on the night, but I just think you sort of, it obviously gets massively overshadowed by the aggregate score, the one that actually matters. And I sort of think, and I mean, this obviously leads into the broader discussion today, but I was saying to the people I was watching it with yesterday, I just think that Liverpool needed to turn that round to have any chance in the league. And that might sound stupid, like it wouldn't have obviously changed the league table in any way whatsoever if they had come away with the victory or the victory they needed yesterday. But just in terms of the momentum, the way it would change the mood in the camp, basically, for these last sort of six games in the league, I thought would have been significant. But obviously, the way it's turned out is they've sort of gone out with not really a whimper, but it's just very low-key, and it's hard to see there being much of a change to that mood heading into the game against Fulham at the weekend, unfortunately. And yeah, much as I thought performance was okay, I mean, when the stats flashed up at the end and I saw, I can't remember how many shots on target it was, but it was 10 shots overall. I mean, that was a major disappointment for me, just not being able to put more pressure on Atalanta. You know, I'd expect that to be sort of closer to double, like more of like a backs-of-the-wall barrage type situation, but it wasn't like that in the end. And I said this in the first leg, and I can say it again this time, like Atalanta, I think there was one moment where the goalkeeper sort of falls on the ball and holds onto it for a while. You know, they didn't time waste at all. Fair play to them. They could easily have done what you so often see against, you know, teams in Europe trying to pull off the upset and just sort of spend loads of time on the floor, etc. But they didn't do that. They played quite fair. They won the tie fair and square. You know, Liverpool didn't take it seriously enough, whatever you want to say. And Atalanta have punished them for that, fully deserved to be in the semi-finals and fully deserved to celebrate it in the manner that they did. I don't have any sort of ill feeling towards towards them whatsoever, really. But to come back to what you said, Jamie, before we move on to this sort of wider discussion about Liverpool's last six games, you mentioned the second half, how frustrated you were watching it. I think a lot of people would have felt that way, and that it might have been down to mental tiredness. Is there an argument that basically Klopp's just been sort of tactically outwitted over the two legs here by Gasperini? We know how good the manager he is. We know how much experience he has. We know he's got this sort of unique brand of football at Atalanta. You know, it was a masterclass from him. A lot of people would have said in the first leg at Anfield, much of Liverpool were obviously terrible. And yesterday, it's rare that you see a team looking so comfortable when they're losing. But again, you know, Liverpool get the penalty. Salah goes through. That's a big moment as well, obviously, where he misses that sort of chip shot. But for the most part, broadly kept Liverpool at arm's length. I mean, it kind of feels like if we're going to criticise the players or say the players were tired and give these myriad of reasons, we also have to look at Klopp in this equation too. What do you think about that?
Yeah, possibly. I don't kind of consider myself as an adept as a tactician to kind of comment too much on that. But what I would say is that, look, they deserve to go through. They're the better team, no doubt about that. But you look at key moments in the game, the kind of outside of the kind of tactical element that put you in those key moments, and that's the main difference I see. I see them being extremely, extremely clinical in front of goal, certainly in the first leg. And look, that's not like, oh, they didn't play well, they were only clinical. You have to, by being clinical, that's part of playing well. So I'm not trying to kind of comment on how well they played or anything like that. But they were ruthless in front of goal, and we weren't. I think we were the opposite of that. I think there are two, from a Liverpool perspective, there are two huge, huge moments in the tie. One is the one we touched on already yesterday, which was the Salah miss. And the other one is the Darwin Nunez miss in the first leg. And look, those could be, even if Harvey Elliott's kind of rocket in the first leg goes in instead of hitting the bar and then the post, we could be talking about completely different ties. So yeah, we were favourites in the tie, and for good reason. We are, I would say, without being, I think, being too controversial, despite the way the tie went, we are, this season, we have been a better team than Atalanta, but that's not what matters. And so, if when you are in a position that, that Gasperini is in, where you're playing a team who you are expected to lose to, look, you're going to need a bit of clinicalness and a bit of luck in terms of the opposition not being so clinical. So he set them up in a way that gave them the best possible chance of beating us. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. But then you have to rely on your players taking those chances and maybe getting that little bit of luck that they did in terms of our players missing their chances. So to me, the game hinges on those key moments. Both teams were able to create them, but only one team was able to finish them.
Yeah, I think you're right about the key moments. It reminds me of what Mark said on the post first leg podcast that we did, where as much as we talked about how terrible Liverpool were, we also made the point, which again sounded a bit maybe controversial at the time, but if Liverpool had taken one or two of those first half chances that you mentioned, we could be looking at a very different timing. That's just the way football works, as far as I'm concerned. But as it is, Liverpool are out, Atalanta through to the semis. To be honest, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even check. You know, I saw West Ham when I didn't check the scores in the other two games. I've got no idea who got through to play them in the semi-final. Doesn't matter.
I'll say.
Well, there we go. So Liverpool would have been playing Marseille in the semis. And obviously, they won't be in that Dublin final. All those Liverpool fans who booked those flights to Dublin. Probably frantically trying to cancel those now, unfortunately. And that it is just the story of it. It's a story of this sort of predestined final that we thought we were going to see out the Jurgen Klopp era, but it hasn't panned out that way. And so often football doesn't go according to sort of that sort of Hollywood script, unfortunately. But all in now on the Premier League, we'll have won a trophy already, but that was so long ago now that it's hard to sort of take too much solace from it. So the key question then, Jamie, is with the mood so low, with the players looking so mentally and physically drained at the moment, can Liverpool still win the Premier League from here? Or are we in a situation where the season and Klopp's Liverpool tenure is at risk of petering out now?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Can they? Yes. Will they? My head probably says no. Look, there are small shoots in the Atalanta game that kind of give me, as a kind of ardently optimistic fan, reasons to be, well, ardently optimistic, I suppose. One of those is called Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I thought he was for a first half in which we pretty much dominated, was the best player on the pitch by some distance. Look, you know how we won the penalty, you know the move leading up to that, that he, without him, we don't win that penalty. Who knows what the game ends up looking like. So he, if he can kind of find fitness that allows him to kind of play all six of the remaining games, then that's reason to be optimistic. Look, I know it's not a kind of real clean sheet last night because they didn't really have to score. But I don't know. Klopp can tell the players that, and you can have this whole story where it's the first time we've had our kind of proper back five in place since, the second day of the season. So there's a story that the squad can tell themselves that, oh, yeah, it's X clean sheets in the last 23 games or whatever. It's not good enough. But now we've got these players back. Look, oh, we kept a clean sheet. And it's not quite the same. But these are stories that supporters can tell themselves and the players can tell themselves. And so there are kind of reasons to kind of believe. And I do still think, despite how I felt coming out of Anfield against Crystal Palace, I do still think that if we win all of our remaining games, we will win the league. I just don't think we'll win all of our remaining games. So, look, I'm at risk of sounding like Klopp kind of deflecting questions here, but Fulham is so important, and that's the only important game in the world right now that we beat Fulham. And if we don't, I think that's over, that's done. If we do, then it's a building block, and then it's the Merseyside derby, and so the players, you'd imagine, will be up for that. And we've got an excellent record at Goodison in the dark, so that's great stuff. And then let's say we beat Fulham and we go 1-0 up at Goodison. I'll be believing again. It might be a kind of ill-guided or a misguided belief, but I will be believing. Right now, I think the word I would use is unlikely.
I do like that optimism, though, definitely. Like, it's sort of a nice way to think about things. I want to get your take on the whole discussion around City and Arsenal this week, going out the Champions League, because a lot of Liverpool fans were celebrating it. Obviously, English rivals going out of Europe, it's always sort of enjoyment in that. A lot of Liverpool fans were frustrated because they thought Liverpool's best hope of winning the title from here was those two teams basically being strained by competing in the Champions League, being, you know, tired out by it. And if they'd got through, of course, they'd have been playing each other, which, you know, given how closely matched they've been when they've played, that could have taken physical lumps out of them, you'd have to say. So how do you sort of see that? Again, obviously, none of this really matters if we'll don't win all the games, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But I personally think that down the years, we've always said, oh, City, I've got the Champions League as well. Is that going to be a hindrance to them? And then they've just won all the games anyway. So I don't necessarily see it being a big issue. Where do you land on it?
I was gutted when City went out. Maybe not gutted, but I was disappointed. With Arsenal, I can see, and look, this could come back to haunt me, because I've been saying for a long time that if we don't need to worry too much about Arsenal. And I really hope that doesn't come back to bite me. But with Arsenal, I was fine with them going out because to me, it was almost win-win. If they go through, obviously, the fixture congestion and they especially have a quite defined first 11 that Arteta likes to have on the field pretty much every game. But if they went out, I could see them kind of not collapsing. I think that would be unfair because they've had a brilliant season and they've responded well to adversity as well this season. But I could see them after the Villa result and this result, I can see them maybe kind of just coming down back down to earth a little bit. Maybe kind of getting 4 or 5 wins from the last 6. I think they've got 6 as well. 4 or 5 wins from the last 6 to have a decent end to the season. But to me, that was kind of a win-win. And the way it's gone doesn't really bother me. With City, I just think I can see them really kind of kicking into overdrive. I still don't think that they will win every single game just because, again, maybe it's the optimist in me. I don't know. There's something about the City side this season that feels quite different to the kind of, I don't know, when they won it in 18-19 and Aguero, I think, was just scoring for fun every single game. This feels different. And I think Spurs is a ground that they've struggled at. I think the cup win this season was the first time they won there at the new Spurs ground. So Brighton, their next game is not an easy game, and it will come after we played twice. I think Arsenal have played once by then, or maybe twice. But I just feel like it's a kind of, it would have been a nice spanner in the works for them to have to think about either Arsenal or Bayern. And now, yes, they don't get their kind of double treble or whatever that they were going for, but Guardiola can now just say, okay, we make it four league wins in a row. That's the legacy that this team lives behind. The legacy that this team builds and kind of lives on and leaves behind. And I think the players will buy into that. And I can see them kicking on and kind of mauling teams a bit in a way that they probably wouldn't have if they'd have to think about kind of rotation and things like that. So to me, that City one was a difficult one to take.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that last point. I think it's quite an interesting idea in terms of the psychology of the race. The only thing I think is, like, again, what I said before, I don't think it's adversely affected City in the past. Maybe it kind of interrupts their momentum a little bit. You know, people talk about the tiredness, and obviously they got the FA Cup this weekend, so they don't need to worry about that too much in terms of the league. But I just think that City kind of, much like Liverpool have a couple of times, when it gets to the end of this season, they sort of rely on that sort of relentless momentum and just kind of this idea that they're completely this unstoppable juggernaut. And you'd like to think from the Liverpool perspective that that sort of defeat against Real Madrid, particularly the manner that it came, is sort of a knock to that and holds that momentum a little bit, because they were obviously building it up quite a lot as well. So we'll see how much it does affect it. I mean, sometimes I think we maybe buy too much into the narratives around tiredness in football, and there are maybe other things at play. So we'll see whether it does change the dynamics, because obviously all three teams are now out of Europe. And they're in a scenario where it's strange, really, because City obviously they went for this double treble. They're not going to get that. You know, they're going for the four titles in a row. They might not get that. I mean, they're the favourites, clearly, but they might not. City might not win any trophies other than the Super Cup this year. And the Club World Cup, obviously. But again, you know, not sort of the major, major ones. Arsenal, very strong chance they go trophyless now. And Liverpool, very strong chance that they only win the League Cup in Klopp's last season, which promised so much more as well. So there's so much on the line over these last few weeks of the season, I should say. But like I said, Liverpool, it's all on them to do their part in this scenario. Obviously, start to Fulham, a team they've had real difficulties against recently, even if they've managed to get through in the League Cup and get that win at Anfield in that seven-goal thriller. So that's the first one, and then there's obviously five more coming after that. The way it looks right now, Jamie, like you alluded to earlier, Liverpool don't have it in them to go and win all those games, which is very likely going to be what they need to do if they do want to win the league. The question I'd ask then is what Klopp can do to change that. What changes can he make, whether it's to the setup of his side, whether it's to the personnel, whether it's anything else that can try and just revitalise this team? Because you can't just kind of accept defeat now from the position that he's in. It's still a position that every single Liverpool fan would have absolutely taken at the start of the season. Obviously, the psychology is really difficult to manage at the moment. So Klopp will try something, but in your eyes, what is it that he should try and, you know, reignite the fire in this Liverpool side?
I wish I knew, to be honest with you. I touched on it earlier with Trent, and I think that's a big thing. I think hit him back just galvanizes so much about the way that we play, and it's not just personnel, it's also that he plays a completely different role to someone like Conor Bradley. You saw him tucking inside. It's interesting, in the Palace game when he came on just after half time, our shape completely changed, and I think we weren't that good, but well, no, we created a bunch of chances, so I think Trent is a big thing. Just more returning players as well. I think Jota could be huge. I think it's just someone needs to get a goal from open play. Even if it just goes in off someone's arse or something. Like it's just, what is it, four consecutive games now without a goal from open play. Even teams doing badly sometimes get a bit of luck that just then galvanizes something. And so a goal, a win, a fluky win, but one where we've actually kind of scored from open play and it all looks different. It's just whether you trust the players who have been misfiring in front of goal, or whether you try and start someone like Jota, who's come back and hasn't looked exactly sharp, but at least he doesn't have that kind of mental block in front of goal that it feels like some of our other strikers have at the moment. So returning players is the main thing for me. And just momentum doesn't come from one game. Look, if we'd gone through yesterday, if we'd won 4-0 and gone through, then momentum comes from one game. We didn't. Momentum won't come from beating Fulham. We could beat them 3-4-0 and I'd still be terrified going into the Goodison game. But if we then get the win in the Goodison game, then it's a bit more and a bit more, and you just have to keep building it. And unfortunately, there's no quick fix, and Klopp will know that. But it's just about something going for us. We've been poor, but we've been unlucky as well, I think it's fair to say. Not in terms of we didn't deserve to beat Atalanta or even Palace, really. But there were moments where it's like, oh, come on. Like, really? That's just Tyrick Mitchell's just been there at the exact right moment or whoever. And so just one of those going our way. And then you slowly build something. Maybe Trent crosses to Jota and then he scores and you think, oh, well, then there's something and there's something we can build on. So, I'm rambling a bit, but it's just about kind of building something step by step, just getting a little bit of energy and a little bit more freshness in the way that we're thinking in front of goal. And I think, maybe it will happen, maybe it will not, but that's the way home, I think, if it does.
Yeah, I think everybody, or not everybody, but quite a lot of people are optimistic that there's still a decent chance both City and Arsenal are going to drop points before the end of the season. And the way I'll title this episode is probably, you know, can Liverpool salvage their season? And I think we're going to have an answer to that probably after Sunday, because you know, Arsenal will have played a tough game for them away at Wolves, but everyone's really focused on City at this point, obviously. And they're the ones with the targets on their backs again now. But if Liverpool win at Fulham, then I do think people are going to start to think, you know what, let's get fully sort of invested in this title race again and try and, you know, basically just give every last drop and make sure we do our part and then just see what happens. If, on the other hand, Liverpool lose the game, then I think it's sort of everyone's throwing the towel in and it's just get me to the end of the season type thing, to be honest. So a lot of ice age games this stage of the season, and this Fulham one is much like a couple of the ones that have come before. I think it's really going to sort of determine what the mood is now for this sort of last stretch of the running. And you'd like to think that it's not going to just end in a whimper. That's the way it's heading at the moment for Klopp, but there is still time for things to change. And I predicted after might have been Brighton, or it might have been before that, that all three teams are going to drop points before the end of the season. We've seen Liverpool drop 5, Arsenal obviously drop 3. So hopefully City now do their bit, and if that happens in one of their games, then suddenly everything opens right back up again. So we'll see whether there's one more twist left in this title race. And I think that would, it kind of feels like there should be one more twist in it, because it's been sort of hyped up so much by everyone as, you know, this epic three-team title race. If City now just, if, you know, on that one day of the season, if Arsenal and Liverpool both lose and City just sort of, you know, goes to the finish line, it would feel a little bit like, well, hang on, that wasn't really what was supposed to happen. And that's not obviously any real genuine comfort, but you just have this sense in the back of your mind that between now and the final day, whether it's in Liverpool's favour, Arsenal's or City's, whatever it might be, that there is going to be another big story within this.
It would be so City though to just go and to ruin the whole narrative and kind of, oh, the greatest title race in generations. Oh, City just won it. They're not comfortably, but we're ahead by 3 or 4 points or something with 5 games to go. It would be so City for that to happen.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think many people would be surprised. As much as I'm saying, you know, it's not over for Liverpool by any means, I don't think people would be surprised if City ended up winning it by 5 points or more at this stage and the other two just completely lost steam, especially after the weeks that they've had. But anyway, we are in full copium territory at this stage of the podcast. So that's probably a good sign that we should probably wrap it up there. But thanks very much, Jamie, for joining me, and thanks very much, everyone, for listening. If you have enjoyed the episode, please give us a 5-star review or a 5-star rating. Remember to follow the podcast, press the notification button, and we've got our podcast email address and mine and Jamie's Twitter usernames in the episode description as well, so you can give us a follow or a message through that. But yeah, thanks again, everyone. We'll be back after the Fulham game, and hopefully we've got a much more optimistic tone to take. And obviously, like we said, everything's going to hinge on that. But make sure you join us for that one, and we will see you then.